Let's welcome in our very special guest, Todd Furman from DonBestSports.com. Todd, offshore, you probably could be able to find a line somewhere on the Women's College World Series. Have you ever wagered on a Women's College World Series game?
My degeneracy has reached all levels of depths in the past. Women's College World Series is not on there, but for those OU fans so inclined, they're a $5 favorite today against Texas. The total posted at 6.5, and if you want to bet OU on the run line, they're minus 3.5 runs, take back plus 130.
I'm overwhelmed with your knowledge of all things wagering. So 5-1, you got to bet 500 to win 100? That's how dominant this OU softball team is?
You just talked about how dominant they are, and apparently the odds makers agree with you. It is by far the stiffest price on the board and also the lowest total at 6.5, which speaks to OU's pitching dominance. The team total for Texas, 1.5 for today's game. You look at some of the other totals. There isn't another total on the board lower than 7. And the highest number, Michigan, Arizona State, this afternoon, that total's posted at 10.5.
Oh, man, that's impressive. Are there many lines out on college baseball right now, or is that usually wait till the Super Regionals?
More often than not, most of the books will wait till the Super Regionals before they get serious about it. Some of the offshore books actually have the College World Series numbers up there. But you look at a lot of these teams, and there are some pretty heavy price tags. For example, if you're looking at the Raleigh, North Carolina Regional, NC State, a 5.5 run favorite over Binghamton, and they're a minus 1,300 favorite. But the largest favorite on the board, LSU, an 8.5 run favorite over Jackson State. If you wanted to win $100 on the Tigers in this particular regional, you're putting up 5,000 big ones.
For the regional? Wow, that's crazy.
Just to win their first game. But obviously a lot more competitive teams out there when you look. And when the Super Regionals roll around, you're going to see prices much more indicative of where these teams should be. And then, of course, there are futures available for each of these teams to win their particular regionals. Columbia, for example, to win Fullerton's region, 100-1 if you're looking at that. Jackson State to win their regional, 150-1, much like the 16 seeds would be in the NCAA tournament.
All right, Women's College World Series or highlight, what's lower on the degeneracy scale?
I'm going to go with Women's College World Series only because you can bet it once a year, and if you're going to wait all year just to bet that, that may be lower on the degeneracy scale. I have to hold highlight in a special place since my grandfather exposed me to that form of gambling when I was about 4 or 5 years old.
The next time you're on with Traber, you have to ask him about his numerical highlight system, which I've visited the Fronton with him, and the fact that it ever worked surprises me because it hasn't worked when I've been with him.
I'd have to imagine that may be the norm more so than what Traber says, although maybe he believes it's worked 1 out of 10 times, therefore it's due to try and work a second time out of the next 11, so he'll try and find a way to implement it to the best of his abilities.
You know, you're an expert, I'm a novice, but you don't have to tell me that the Dew theory never works.
If the Dew theory worked, we'd all sit around the roulette tables waiting for 15 runs of black or red trying to go the other way. But like I tell people, the house advantage remains the same no matter how improbable an inevitable run of 10 or 15 on the roulette wheel ever comes up.
Very nice. All right, NBA. The Pacers have played pretty well in the series so far. The Heat cover the number last night. I thought most of the games would be close, but I thought Miami would win the close ones. Do you see a one way to go in game six?
I mean, you look
at take Miami.
I would lean towards Miami, too. This number did open to 2, 2.5, and that's kind of where it's going to sit. The surprising move was actually on a total that opened 184, been bet down to 182. You imagine that the Pacers are going to focus on the defensive end as the only way to try and slow down this Miami team, who seems to come in waves. When they want to be focused and play their best basketball, they do that. The amazing part about last night's 90-79 win is that LeBron James appeared to be the only guy playing at a top level. Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade were pretty pedestrian. You look at Chris Anderson with the improbable shot-making ability he's had, Udonis Haslam kind of going off. But I think this will be a game where the books clearly will need Indiana. Imagine the public will come in at about an 80% clip on Miami, expecting them to close out to try and get a few days of rest before game one of the NBA Finals starts on Thursday.
I had Blake and Taylor Griffin on the show earlier in the week. They both picked San Antonio. What am I missing? I mean, I think the Spurs match up better against Miami than Indiana does for a lot of the same reasons, but I don't see anybody beating the Heat four times.
I don't think so either. And if Blake and Taylor are looking for that, most likely they'll be able to get a price of about plus 230 on the Spurs to beat the Miami Heat in the finals. I think you look at what the Spurs had problems with against Golden State, and it was guards that were able to stretch them out and make jumpers. I think what will happen in the series against the Heat, there is nobody out there that can match up with LeBron. They'll be able to drive, penetrate, and get easy baskets at the rim. You need to be a very good defensive rebounding team to kind of slow Miami down, and that's where the Pacers have taken advantage of Roy Hibbert. The Spurs don't truly fit that mold, and I think Tim Duncan, if he's playing limited minutes, you figure he's good for 27 to 30. Who clogs the paint? Even Tiago Splitter. I know Kawhi Leonard has been a bit of a defensive stopper. I just don't see the pieces for San Antonio to beat Miami. I do think it'll be a very competitive series, however.
Seven?
I'd say probably six because of, it could go seven because of the format. I always forget it's a 2-3-2 format. So if the Spurs are able to steal one game in Miami, and then Miami could go home facing, you know, potentially a 3-2 series deficit, I could see it going six or seven. I'd be shocked if Miami's able to close out San Antonio in five games or less.
What else is going on in the wagering world right now?
Same old exciting stuff. A lot of baseball action out here, keeping some of the books in business. And we have the last four Stanley Cup winners alive and well in the Stanley Cup semifinals. So it's always good for betting handle when there's a lot of name recognition and brand programs, especially having the defending champs Kings taking on the Chicago Blackhawks, are one of the probably the highest profile team of the four remaining.
Are any Major League Baseball, I don't think, and I've not been paying any attention to baseball lines, but the Pirates are having a really good start to the season, and I wouldn't imagine that they've been a real, they're a big favorite in a lot of their games. Are they cashing the most tickets for investors or the biggest profits?
You look at some of these teams, and it's kind of up and down for a lot of these teams and how they'll look. I think not so much them as you look at the two teams that the public is going against each and every night. They're trying to get rich parlaying whoever's playing against the Florida Marlins with whoever's playing against the Houston Astros. And that's really where some of these books have struggled, because even if you try and jack up the numbers and make them prohibitive favorites against those two teams at, say, minus 250 on a nightly basis, if you're parlaying those two teams, the casual bettor is not being run off by a 10 or 15 cent adjustment, looking at a payoff that's still going to pay better than even money more often than not.
So a parlay with the anti-Houston Marlins play would pay more than even money?
It normally does.
Most
if you're looking
nights?
At these teams, until you get up to that $3 range, if you're talking about 240 and 250 where those teams have been consistently, that'll pay a little better than even money. But I can't get on the Sports Animal airwaves and try and condone parlaying against two of the dregs in Major League Baseball as a long-term investment strategy.
Very nice. What's happening in Vegas? There was a big UFC fight last weekend. I mean, I guess that's a pretty regular event, right?
I feel like there's UFC fights every weekend out here these days. I mean, they've really saturated. Clearly, the big news was the announcement that Canelo Alvarez will be taking on Floyd Mayweather on September 14th at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Opening number there, Floyd anywhere from minus 250 at some shops all the way up to $3. There's some interesting clauses written into that contract that they'll fight at 152, but no rehydration clause or no Olympic-style drug testing. So Saul Alvarez, expect him to come in at 158, 159 when they get actually in the ring after the weigh-in is all said and done. And it just so happens that the lead-in to that particular fight is Alabama-Texas A&M, so it should be a great day in sports in the middle of September.
Man, that will be really good. I'm really not paying that much attention to what's going on about who's going to challenge Mayweather, but it seems like this is a fight that has got a lot of the boxing purists excited.
I think this is the first fight where Floyd actually will be challenged. The one concern when you look at Alvarez's game, he's a little slower, and people have called him a guy with concrete boots, which is going to be a big problem. The nice thing he does have the punching power that if Floyd lets his guard down or his defense slips, which we really haven't seen at any point during his professional career, so no reason to believe it'll change, he does have the power to put Floyd on his backside. And I think that, more than anything else, this is a fight that we thought we were going to have to wait two or three more for Floyd to try and get through. The one thing, though, with Floyd Mayweather, he's very careful and calculated before he'll take any fight, and makes me believe that he found an edge that he can exploit in Canelo Alvarez's game. Therefore, not using this as the last leg of Showtime's boxing deal, making this a second leg, setting up maybe a potential rematch if things go well the first time.
All right, final question is, have you ever seen Mayweather's million-dollar duffel bag in person?
I have not seen Mayweather's million-dollar duffel bag in person. although there's a lot of speculation that $1 million duffel bag actually does exist. But we know that he's out there firing on a lot of these sporting events. He's not exactly one of the more feared sports bettors out here. But for a guy that had trouble with the IRS, I'm not sure advertising and tweeting out $800,000 to $1.5 million tickets is the best way to try and endear yourself to the federal government.
Yeah, that's a layup case for them.
One would think. Todd, the government has botched other things before, Mark. So,
always great to talk to you. We'll do it again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me. I want to tell everybody, I know we haven't been on since all the turmoil through Oklahoma. Hopefully everybody in the sports animal listener area is doing well after the tremendous tornadoes that we saw in the news. I know thoughts and prayers have been with them from Las Vegas.
Well, hey, thank you very much. And again, toddstake.com, you can hear podcasts of this and not only our interview, but you're doing interviews all over the rest of the country, too. So I know
today,
Tampa.
And we try and keep it real everywhere we can. But I can tell you one thing, Mark. No one wants to talk as much Women's College World Series and the men's side as much as you do. So sports animal listeners get a special treat.
Do me a favor when you go on down there in San Antonio today. Mention to all those Texans that OU's a 5-1 favorite today.
I'll have to drop that in there. If they drop my call 2 minutes into the interview, I'll know exactly why.
Okay, good deal. See you, Todd.
I'll be good, Mark.